Amen. Right, we come to Jeremiah to chapters 16 and 17, at least the first 18 verses of chapter 17, which is prophecy number 7. The goal of the gospel ministry is laid out for us in the very last verse of chapter 16. If you read that verse 21, you will have what should be the goal of every faithful minister and pastor. Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know. I will cause them to know mine hand and my might. And they shall know that my name is the Lord. I think that would well sum up the prayer of any faithful preacher. As we move into chapter 17, we learn the harm that sin causes. It's depicted very vividly as the etching of the point of a diamond. Verse 1. The sin of Judah is written with the pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. To this day, etching in the hardest of surfaces is done with the point of a diamond. And this tells us that sin leaves a long-term scar. Even for God's people, even for a Christian, the scar of sin may long term remain. I remember hearing of a man of the world who became a new Christian, and he was always afraid or ashamed to take off his shirt in public because of a tattoo. A very lewd tattoo that had been imprinted on his skin. And even though he had turned his life around, or God had turned him around, and he was changed, and we could say that his sins were gone, yet the scars of sin, the damage of sin in this life still remain. And even though the blood of the Lord Jesus cleanses us, as far as God's record is concerned, and frees us from every debt of sin, yet there is a legacy that very often has to be paid in this life. But there is worse than the scars of sin on the human side. As you go down to verse 4, you will discover that sin stirs up the fury of the Lord. And it says, and thou even thyself shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I give thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For, and here's the reason, and that's one thing I like about this ministry of Jeremiah, that God through Jeremiah gives the reason for what he's doing. And the reason for their exile, the reason why they would enter into bondage under their enemies, is that they have kindled a fire in the Lord's anger, which shall burn forever. So often in gospel ministry, people are worried, what will people think? What kind of a name or reputation will we earn in the community? But our priority, if we have the fear of the Lord, our priority ought to be, what will the Lord think? Will this please Him? I was reading in John chapter 8 how the ministry of the Lord Jesus always pleased His Father. And that's what we ought to aspire toward. We ought to fear lest we kindle a fire in God's anger. Now, those who come under that wrath of God, you'll notice in verse 5, are cursed, And it said, cursed is the man. But you'll notice how in verse 6, there is a very lively description of the cursed man. For he shall be like the heath in the desert. Now the word heath is simply a shrub. A scraggy, dried up shrub. A heath in the desert. And shall not see when good cometh. But you'll notice in contradistinction, in opposite terms, that the blessed man, verse 7, the blessed man who trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is, he shall be as a tree planted by the waters. And so here you have a very lively picture of two different scenes. A shrub in the desert, drying up, lifeless, useless, and then a tree planted by the rivers of water. I don't think you could have any greater contrast in a depiction of the cursed man versus the blessed man. The cursed man who has stirred up the fury of the Lord through his life of sin is like a shrub shriveling up in the heat of the desert. What is it good for but to be burned and destroyed? Whereas the blessed man, and we have learned of this before, that this is a quote from Psalm 1, in very, very similar picture terms, the blessed man is like that tree planted by the rivers of water. These two trees also depict pastors. The two different kinds of pastors. Those that are faithful and those that are deceitful. If you follow on down to verse 15, you will come to the description of the unfaithful pastor. Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. And you'll see that there is a despising of the Lord's word. That's like the shrub drying up in the desert place. In contrast to that, you'll notice verse 16, Jeremiah, the faithful pastor. As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee. I liken him to the tree planted by the rivers of water. The blessed man. The man after God's own heart, who is seeking by grace to follow hard after the Lord. I want us to think tonight of this text where Jeremiah said, as for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee. Seminaries today who ought to be turning out faithful pastors are not doing very well in our day and generation. Many seminaries have totally departed from basic fundamental Christianity. They become liberal, modern, they have all the humanist trends, and they are turning out psychologists, they are turning out academics, but they are not turning out Jeremiah's. Our own seminary, or both seminaries in Greenville and in Northern Ireland, have their own challenges. While I have no concerns about liberalism in the teaching of our seminaries, the number of young men who are willing to be a Jeremiah, to be trained for the ministry and pay the price, is proving to be very few. In Northern Ireland, quite a number of our ministers are already at retirement age. There was a wave of men prior to my entrance into the preaching ministry, men who were more the fathers of our denomination, the pioneers of new works and new churches. They are hitting retirement age. And there's going to be a great pressure on filling those pulpits and those pastorates when these men retire, certainly within the next 8 years or so. Our own seminary in Greenville, while we do not have that kind of pressure yet in our denomination, we do get calls for new churches. But how can we even begin to get serious about saying to anyone, yes, we would be interested about a pioneer church in your city or community, when we don't have the manpower? We don't have a man to go. And let's face it, in Canada at present, we don't have one student minister in seminary. So we are facing a great need in this land. Many seminaries, to circumvent this lack of manpower, have allowed women to fill the role of pastor. And I think that speaks for itself, the kind of theology that they follow whenever they resort to training women for the pastoral ministry. I understand women can do many things. Many have been many women missionaries, many women who have served the Lord in various capacities. And I do not despise what God can do through a godly woman and what the Lord has done through godly women. But we know in the history of the Christian church that up until this present generation, that such has never been the case. And this shows that we are living in similar times to Jeremiah. He was not in the popular group. He didn't fit into the ministerial societies of his day. He says here in this text, "As for me," and it would appear, at least in his mind, that he was in the total minority. While the others were saying, "Where is the word of the Lord?" They were the skeptics, they were the modernists, they were the liberals. "Where is the word of the Lord?" And Jeremiah said, "As for me," and it shows you that he was, if not the, he was one of the last men who was true to the Lord. Now we ought to remember that God has his 7,000 who will not bow the knee to Baal. We do not despair that God will have a man for the hour, that God will have a witness for his own name. We believe that God is sovereign in providing for his own church. God also has a few faithful preachers who, against all odds, do speak out for the Lord. We want to take Jeremiah tonight for our study. He ought to be our model. If seminaries turned out a race of Jeremiahs, they would be doing well. And God would certainly have a plan of grace for our nations. And so I want us to examine this text tonight. I want us to see here the marks of a faithful pastor. As for me, I want us to look at the pressures of a faithful pastor. And then, if time allows, and I'm not going to extend this too long, I want us to look at the passion of a faithful pastor. Think of these words: "As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee." The first mark of a faithful pastor is that he follows after the Lord. He has not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee. This is a kind of a double negative. He has not hastened from. In other words, he has hastened. He has been speedy in his desires to serve the Lord. And he put himself into running mode to give himself to the work of serving the Lord with no hindrance. He would let nothing stand in his way. And so important because of the definition that this chapter has upon sin. If you go back to chapter 16, verse 10, you'll notice how sin is depicted as departing from the Lord. Well, let's go to verse 11. Then shalt thou say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law. And then think now of Jeremiah's words, that he was a pastor who hastened not from following after the Lord. While others were departing, he did not slacken. He did not in any way slow up in his desire to serve the Lord. And so the man of God, the pastor here, is the one who by God's power is seeking to follow the Lord all the way as a faithful disciple. Are you doing that tonight? Are you and I in this category? As for me, I have not hastened from following after the Lord. Another mark of the faithful pastor is that he will expose every form of departure from the Lord. Jeremiah's ministry was all about warning the people and telling them of the errors of those false pastors, that they were going to backslide, depart, and come under God's judgment. And of course, he was delivering the Lord's own word to the people. We have learned in that in verses 1 through 5, in that description of the pen of iron and the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. And he goes on to show the sins of the people. Now, that's the mark of a faithful pastor. And while no people only wants to hear the subject of sin and the evils of sin every possible turn in a service, yet any man that takes to the pulpit and refuses to use the word sin in the society in which we live and the evil that is spread abroad can hardly be called a faithful pastor. I also thought that another mark of a faithful pastor is a man who perseveres through his lifetime. Jeremiah was 40 years a preacher to this people before captivity finally came. 40 years. Can you think of that? With such a ministry, when again and again and again under different kings on the throne, a king is raised up, good or bad, he dies and passes on, another one comes through, and he goes through the same cycle of departure from God. And there's Jeremiah preaching the same message, standing for God. And of course, the people grew very weary of Jeremiah. And the longer he went on, the more that he was hated. Even by his own family, the people of Anathoth that we learn. What is the faithful pastor to do? Well, we know of Paul's advice. Preach the word in season and out of season. In so many churches today, people don't know their Bibles. Because Bible preaching and teaching is out of season. If you want to be popular in a fast-growing church, if you want to notch up the numbers, well, expositionary Bible preaching and teaching is not the fast way to do it. And so it's out of season. But what does Paul say? Preach the word in season and out of season with all long suffering. And that's the mark of a faithful pastor. And while there are cycles in every church life, when a young generation comes along, families grow up, children scatter, another generation comes. There are always cycles in every church. And there are discouragements. But the mark of a faithful pastor is that he just keeps on keeping on preaching the word of the Lord. And whether the pews are full or not so full, we must preach the word of the Lord. Now let's come to the pressures upon the faithful pastor. We know from Jeremiah 11 that he was under threat of death. Jeremiah was under a death threat. There was serious, severe opposition to his ministry. And as Jeremiah walked through the streets of Jerusalem, he was despised, he was spat upon, and as we will find later, he was put in the stocks, imprisoned, put into a cell. They hoped that he would perish there out of hunger or cold. And it was a Gentile, actually, that had mercy on him and brought him up out of that state. He also preached to a people whose hearts were hardened. Chapter 17, well, that diamond illustration again comes to us. Such was the hardness of their hearts that sin was indelibly written upon them. And yet Jeremiah continued to preach. And whether they would listen or whether they would forbear, he was to preach unto them. And this is the pressure that is upon us today. We're living in a multicultural society. We're living in a time when people's hearts are hardened to Christianity, to the gospel, to spiritual things. And as that word is despised, while doors may close and opposition may grow, we are to preach and stand for God. Jeremiah also fought against weariness. Remember how after his death threat he wanted to die. He was like Elijah under the juniper tree. He wanted to die. Such was the weariness of his days. And without the Lord's strength and power, he could not have kept going. I think many more pastors give up the pastoral ministry out of weariness than just about any other thing. Just sheer weariness. And when you're a young pastor and you come to a new charge and a new situation, there is that natural enthusiasm. And you keep going for a bit. But when you've been through the cycle of the ups and downs, weariness can wear you down. And they lose sight of the Lord's power and lose sight of that surrender that is required to the Lord. Another thing I noticed is that Jeremiah hated to be called negative. If you look at the verse 16, "As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee, neither have I desired the woeful day." Notice that. Jeremiah was not one of these preachers who rubbed his hands with glee when he preached about God's judgment. The woeful day. The day when the city would be broken up. When they would be taken off in captivity. Jeremiah was not a man who was happy that God's people were going to judgment. And I think we have to be very careful that we do not give the impression that we just want to be hell and fire and brimstone preachers, because that makes us happy. No, we ought to be warning of the eternal misery and the eternal punishment of the wicked, because a holy God is angry against sin and sinners. And we want to plead with men, not out of a negative tone, but out of love for their souls, out of a desire for their good. But I suppose this has to be the preacher's cross. The very fact that Jeremiah said these words, "Neither have I desired the woeful day," somebody must have said, "Oh, Jeremiah, he's just one of those guys. He's always negative. And every time you hear Jeremiah, he's warning about something. Jeremiah's warnings were not with a gleeful spirit that men were being destroyed, but rather he was a burdened man. And you've got the picture of Jeremiah preaching with the tears running down his cheeks. He's the weeping prophet. He's the man with a burden. And that's how a faithful pastor ought to be presenting and preaching the word. You'll notice also that he was dealing with a lot of impatience. In verse 15, the verse prior to our text, "Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now." And that was the impatience of either pastors or people around him. Where is the word of the Lord? And men were growing impatient. And for all these years, a total of 40, Jeremiah continued to warn, the city is going to be broken up. The heathen enemy is going to enter in and take people away into captivity and bondage. There's going to be death and there's going to be God's judgment. And he called them to repent. But the people were impatient. Jeremiah, we've heard that before. You've always been on about this. And the impatience was indeed a pressure. And likewise, gospel preachers must, with all their heart, continue to warn the wicked. God's judgment will come. There is a day of wrath for the wicked. And while people say, well, where is it? We must hold forth that word of the Lord. Another pressure upon Jeremiah is the pressure to be relevant. Do you think Jeremiah felt that? The pressure to be relevant? The pressure to keep up with the times? Oh, yes, he did. The very statement, "as for me," oh, he felt the pressure. "As for me, I have not hastened." In other words, there were many things that would have distracted me from the great goal of the ministry, making the Lord known, making his word known, making his people obey the Lord. Jeremiah could have been distracted to many things to appear to be relevant to a modern-minded people, a progressive people, who were really a carnal people. They didn't want the word of the Lord. They were forsaking the word of the Lord. And so Jeremiah felt the pressure to be relevant. Now that comes to every pastor today. As we preach more and more to an educated audience, I don't claim to be an academic. I don't claim to have exceptional powers of the mind that some men have, some women have. I don't claim to be anything above the average student of the Word of God. But the pressure is on to be relevant today. You need to move on to the modern discoveries of modern man. And that pressure can get to some. And especially as you preach to an educated congregation, and more, especially in young generation growing up, we're dealing with university-trained minds, people that have had a lot of post-secondary education, various fields, and they expect a preacher to be able to preach to the hunger of their minds. And the temptation, the pressure is to move on to something else, something new, some other fad. Whereas the reality is that the spiritual mind, the hungry man or woman for the things of God, is saying, "Preacher, unlock the Word of God for me. Help me to understand the book." And I have learned that even seminary not necessarily seminary professors, but university professors, find it very difficult to understand the book. And some of the brightest academics can come to the Bible and get lost in understanding its truths. Because this word is spiritually discerned. The understanding of the Word of God is not merely an academic process. It is a spiritual work. And it's the Holy Spirit that reveals to men the Word and its truths and its meanings. And so as a preacher and a pastor, I must not be distracted to some relevant modern day message. My task is to preach the book, preach the word in season and out of season. That's the pressures of the pastor. Now we come to the passion. We come to chapter 16 and verse 21. Verse 21, back to that text that I mentioned, should be the goal of every pastor. Every preacher should have this passion. Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know. I will cause them to know mine hand and my might. And they shall know that my name is the Lord. That's the passion of the preacher. He wants to lead men and women who don't know the Lord to the knowledge of the Savior. To be as the blessed man. The man whose roots are into the rivers of water. Enjoying the spiritual things of God. And of course to deliver people from the very curse of sin. Now how do I know that Jeremiah had the passion of a pastor? Well, in chapter 17 and verse 16, you'll notice how this is put. He answers the question, as for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee. Neither have I desired the woeful day, thou knowest, that which came out of my lips. Notice this. That which came out of my lips was right before thee. And here is the heart of this preacher. Here is the man in operation. He is controlled by a passion to expound the knowledge of the Lord. We know that the Lord's word was as a fire in his bones. He came to such a point, if you turn over to chapter 20 and verse 19, he came to such a low ebb at one point that he said that he would never preach again. That he would never again preach. But he soon discovered that the Lord's word was like a fire in his bones. And he couldn't be silent. He couldn't be silent. The person who has been born of the Spirit and has the Spirit of God in his heart cannot hold back. Certainly not for long. You can't sit in the company of the ungodly and not sooner or later tell them their need of the Savior. And that is the evidence of new life in the soul of the Christian. And we need this passion driving us to speak up for the Lord. Why do we want to have men and women come under the preaching of the ministry of the gospel? Why do we want to go out into the community with literature? Why do we want to preach on radio? Why do we want an internet message? It's because we have a burden, a passion to reach men with the message of Christ. I want to know tonight, are you preaching or praying for your preacher? It's possible that I lose the passion. It's possible that my soul dries up and that I preach just a mere dry, barren message. I want you to pray for me. I want you to come to church every Sunday, having already prayed, Lord, set our pastor on spiritual fire. Don't let them grow dry. Don't let them grow cold. Don't let them get distracted. Don't let them feel the pressures of our culture. Don't allow him to be misguided by some new thinking. We need a passion. A preacher with a passion. Who, like Jeremiah said, as for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee. I pray that that will ever be our burden. And that will ever be our testimony. And that you will take this message to heart tonight. It has been about pastors. It has been about the need of our seminary. And there is a great need in our congregation to pray that God will raise up men, men that are called, men that are separated unto the gospel with a burden to make the Lord known. And that God may call them, use them, and thrust them out into the fields that are white unto harvest. And give them a ministry, even as Jeremiah, a lifelong ministry. Not just a little short stretch, and then they're done. We need men who will give their whole lives to a faithful, steadfast, preaching the word, preaching the gospel. No holding back. As for me, and I have to write my name in here tonight, as for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee. Can I stand before the Lord tonight with honesty and say that in my time and opportunities, have I wasted a day? Have I wasted time? Have I misused the opportunities? Or can I stand with Jeremiah on this testimony? As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee. I pray for that. I ask you to pray for me and pray for every man that is called of God.